Today we're going to go on a journey. We're going to journey with the shepherds. Our goal is to see as they saw, to hear what they heard, to feel as they felt, and more importantly, to understand what it was that they believed. To start out though, we have to start where they started. They started in a field, in the middle of the night. There's sheep all around them. Maybe a cool breeze running through the dark night. That's it. Nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary, just a standard night, spending time with their sheep, protecting them. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, angels appeared. These glowing beings from another realm, basically, who appeared and started singing, and their sounds filled the space. I'd be kind of terrified, honestly, and they were too. What do they want of me? Are they going to kill me? Are they going to give me some news I don't want to hear? Are they going to make me do something I don't want? Why are these angels here? Out of terror, they watched. But the angels told them a message. They told them what to see and where to go. And they believed. So they went on a journey. A journey to follow a star. I don't know about you, but I've been outside many times at night. There's a lot of stars in the sky, but very few of them move. They kind of just stand there and stare at us. So to follow a star is not only weird for us, it should be weird for them as well. Maybe they're really good navigators, but that's not the point. There was a star, and it moved, and it rested, and it stayed. It had motion to this star. So this is a very weird star. So weird that they understood it, and they're willing to follow it. So however it looks like that they followed it, maybe they followed it till it ducked behind the horizon, even though that's not what the story says, but it rested over a place. Not any special place, not something you'd expect. This rock-hewn cave in the middle of a cliff where they were used to bringing their sheep. This was a normal space. They would normally bring their sheep to this little cave at night because it's easy to protect the sheep. It's warmer, it's more comfortable. So they're used to these caves. So this is not surprising to them. They would not be afraid to approach the cave. But let's approach the cave with them. Let's experience this event. So as they're approaching the cave, they expect to hear some noise, even if we don't. Because there's sheep in there, a lot of sheep, calling back and forth to each other, braying back and forth. There's a donkey in there. He's probably calling out too. There's a cacophony of sound. All these animals back and forth, braying and whatnot. That's what they hear first as they approach. Maybe even the cry of a baby. A little strange to them as well. As we get a little closer, the stench hits us. When you have that many sheep clustered in a small cave, you're going to smell them. They've been out in the woods. They don't take baths. You have not just the sheep, but their poop, and you have the hay. And on top of that, the fire to keep things warm. So this mix of sheep smell and wool and smoke and fire is hitting them as they enter this cave. As they go a little further, what did they expect to see when they entered through the opening? What did we expect to see? Do we expect this glowing child that looks like it's from another world? Do we expect to see this entourage? None of that. They were told they'd find a king, but there's nothing there. There's no knights, no squires, no pages, no minstrels singing songs, nothing to announce a king. He didn't glow in the dark. He didn't have some specialness to him that you'd be like, oh yeah, of course, that must be God. No, they understood simply by the sign. The angels told them there would be a sign, a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that was it. There was a child sitting in a manger, and that was all they needed. The simplicity of that event was what left them with joy. Because after seeing the child with his mother and his father and all the animals around them, they understood the message, told their story, and left rejoicing. The sign was enough for them to leave, glorifying God and praising him as they went back to their sheep. Now, we want to be like them, don't we? We'd like to be full of joy like the shepherds. We have a little bit of an issue. I think for most of us, when we reflect on the mystery of the Nativity, and especially our own manger scenes, we think of them like the statuary here. They're polished, they're clean, they're dusted off, they sit there, they do nothing. They're static. And in that way, we want our lives to mirror that. We think of it as so simplistic and static, clean, sterile, like there's nothing to it. That everything was quiet and peaceful that night. Everything was exactly as it should be for God to be in the world. And it wasn't. And neither are our lives. Our lives don't mirror our statuary. Our lives mirror the reality of what Jesus did. He came in the midst of our world, in the midst of our darkness, as Isaiah proclaimed, and there went among the sheep. He had no special entourage, nothing to name him as king, to show us the simplicity of what God wants. He wants to be with us in all our struggles. He wants to be with us in our challenges. He came in the midst of them. God came and spit up. He came and pooped his diaper. He came and skinned his knee. He came and learned as he figured out humanity for the simple reason that we can journey with him. So we must be careful. We must be careful not to try and make our lives be so pristine and perfect that we can't approach God unless we're ready. Quite the opposite. The shepherds weren't ready. They're just told to go. And they went. And so can we. We can approach Jesus because he came into the mess. He came into the chaos so that we could approach him. And that's the beauty of our readings for today. Just the absolutely spectacular readings for Christmas. In the letter to the Hebrews, it proclaims this idea that when we see Jesus, even if it's just a statue, it reminds us that it's not just a human being. He's not just human. He's human and God. The very fullness of what it means to be God emanates from him. By approaching the reality of Jesus, we approach God himself. And it's beautiful and wonderful. And even in John's Gospel today, probably the most spectacular reading we can have for the Christmas season, makes this point. God came to be with us. He went from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm. And doing so, took on flesh, became like us, and we didn't realize it. The sadness of that reading. We didn't know God was among us. We didn't realize he walked in our steps. And this is where we need to be. We need to realize he's here with us. He's walking with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to journey with us every step of the way. And it's not something of fear. It's something of great joy. Because we don't have to be ready. We just have to agree to go. That's it. There's nothing more to it. There's nothing we can do to prepare besides saying, yes, Lord, here I am. That's it. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, approach the baby Jesus. Approach Jesus himself. Don't be worried about all the other weird stuff that happens in our lives. Don't be worried of whether we're ready or not. You won't ever be, because you can't be. He's already there, ready for you. He wants you to come and speak to him, to realize his presence, and to see with great joy what the shepherds experienced. They left praising God, and so can we.